In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is August 15th, year 2009, and it's a feast day of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary into heaven, body and soul. O Mary, assumed into heaven, pray for us and intercede for us. We always talk about what our Lord's, one of our Lord's greetings was to our Blessed Mother on this day when she came into heaven, body and soul. For thou art the flesh of my flesh and the bone of my bone. This is where Jesus Christ took on his humanity from the Blessed Virgin Mary. Now, we were just reading about how great Mary is, and we always say this, especially we're directing this towards the Protestants and even other non-Catholics who don't understand what we teach here. And I said this many times, the pagan goes, well, I don't believe Jesus is God, but if I did believe he was God, I would have to say the Blessed Virgin Mary is the greatest creature that ever lived because God came into her womb, took on her flesh, and submitted himself to her during his human life on earth up to the point to where he died. And even now in heaven, he's still her son. And he's the king and she's the queen. I don't think you would even have any pagan having trouble believing that if he believed our other dogmas. That's why Protestants in particular are very stubborn, very wicked, very evil, very full of the devil on this point, scandalous. First of all, they can't make one true conversion because they're not Catholic. Only Catholics can make true conversions. But they make it even more difficult for goodwill people who are not baptized, like Hindus and Buddhists and Muslims and Talmudic Jews, to convert because of their misrepresentation of Mary, which make Christians look hypocritical. It's a great scandal. They're not even true Christians. That's the point, too. They call themselves Christians. They're not only Catholics, are true Christians in the strict sense of the word. Now, what we're talking about here is, if you want to follow Mary to heaven and save your soul, you've got to follow Mary. You'd only get to heaven through Mary, because redemption came through Mary. Without true devotion to Mary, without true devotion to Mary, there is no salvation. And now I will just tell the people what we do before we start our sermons. I never record this, but we always start out with the prayer to the Holy Ghost. We invoke the Blessed Mothers of Seat of Wisdom and St. Gabriel, the most glorious Prince of the Heavenly Messengers, and all the angels and saints, and St. Joseph. And then we pray Hail Mary. And then we do our sermons. I don't conclude this on my sermons for the people to hear, but just so you Protestants may know what the Hail Mary sounds like, and you should recognize the first part of it because it's right out of the Bible. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. That prayer is the second greatest prayer of all time, second to the Our Father. And without both of those prayers being made by you, you're never going to be saved. And I will tell the Protestants, God will not even accept the Our Father from you. Because if you don't accept his mother, you cannot have his father. You can't bypass the mother to go to the father. So I'm telling you Protestants, and anybody out there who's not Catholic, doesn't understand, when you're in a dire moment, when nothing's happened, when you're very much in danger of like your physical life or even in your mental state of mind, ask the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Catholic Mary, and say it like that, to help you, and say a Hail Mary. And then you watch how God will help you. You know, God even does that right now to many people out there who aren't even Catholic. But at least they invoke the Blessed Mary with some type of little bit of goodwill in their heart, and God will even preserve them, even though they're not Catholic yet. You don't become Catholic until you first start praying. Prayer is your entrance into the church. That's why we educate the people out there, and we have the prayers up on our websites, and we tell all these people out there that aren't Catholic, you've got to start by praying our Catholic prayers. So God can open up your heart to understand the truth of the Catholic faith. St. Dominic said this perfectly. The Blessed Mother came to St. Dominic once when he was going to give a sermon at the University of Paris with all the intellectuals. And that was a time when they weren't yet infected with the university itself, did not have philosophy or scholasticism yet, as much as it did later on. Philosophy, St. Dominic bitterly banned philosophy. He hated it because the church banned it. All of these bastard so-called Dominicans came along later on, after St. Dominic died, and perverted everything, and brought in philosophy. Dominic was a great saint. Him and Francis would have saved the church alone if people obeyed both of them. There were two pillars right there that God sent to save the church. Dominic was the preaching part. That was to go out there and learn some of the deeper stuff to be able to preach. And everything he did was for the salvation of souls and not for pseudo-intellectualism. Not for the glorification of philosophy he hated. Not for mythology. Not for what happened later on. He was a great saint. And when he was going to preach at the University of Paris, because he knew all the intellectuals were there, he was making up a real fancy sermon. And the Blessed Mother appeared to him and said, put away that sermon. Because the reason he said he was going to do it, because I have to please these intellectuals with some subtle teachings. She goes, give the sermon I'm going to give you. And it was a very simple sermon about the Hail Mary, which we call the angelic salutation, the Hail Mary. Very simple sermon. And she says, if these people don't start to pray with a sincere heart, just a basic Hail Mary, you can preach all you want, and you can preach all truth you want. They're never going to believe, they're never going to understand. Because prayer is the beginning of salvation. It's where you generate the grace to be able to convert and to understand what we're preaching to you. She'd made clear to Dominic that, and she even told him, before you do your sermons, pray a Hail Mary. All right, we do that here all the time. That's what I'm telling you people, we do that. And we pray a rosary before the Mass even. All right, before every Mass, we pray a rosary too, 15 minutes before the Mass.
When I say Mass, I actually mean Mass prayers, because we do not have a Catholic priest to offer the Holy Mass. And Catholics are forbidden to attend the Masses offered by non-Catholic priests. Every priest that I know of is a heretic, an apostate, or a schismatic.
This sermon, what I want to impress upon Protestants and other non-Catholics and these nominal Catholics, they're worse even though, because they abuse the rosary. We'll get into that later. If you don't pray with a sincere heart, it's a false devotion also. I'm not addressing them right now. I want to talk about the Protestants. I'm talking now to the Buddhists. I'm talking to the Hindus. I'm talking to the Talmudic Jews, and I'm talking to the Muslims. All your gods are false. All your religions are false. You're praying to the devil. King David says that in Psalm 95:5, the gods of the Gentiles are devils. St. Paul says it in 1 Corinthians 10:21, that's with the heathen sacrifice, they sacrifice unto the devils and not unto God. I'm telling you that if the devil ever does give you a favor, it's only going to be for some carnal purpose or from some temporal matter. Never is he ultimately caring about your spiritual welfare. He may even give what may appear to be a spiritual consolation, but it's no consolation at all. Your only help can come from the Catholic God, the Catholic Jesus, the Catholic Mary, and you don't get to the Catholic God unless you come through the Catholic Mary. All right? So you have to invoke her in the moment of need. And your dire help, when you're confused, when you're confounded, when you're fearful, when you're suffering, invoke the Blessed Virgin Mary and pray the Hail Mary. You just heard me pray in the beginning. And ask God, ask the Catholic Mary to help you. And you'll see how quick God will help you if you pray that prayer with a sincere motive and not out of a mockery. Or not just merely to test her out of a sense of mockery or some type of a superstition. Pray it with a true heart. All you Protestants, go ahead and do it. You think you're going to get to heaven without Mary? And Luke 1:28 says, all generations shall call her blessed. You have the nerve to not even call her blessed. We were just reading today in our readings for the Assumption about Judith. Let's read what they say about Judith, the prophetess from the Old Testament. The holy woman of God, that from the day her husband died, lived in the temple in holy chastity and holy purity, and all simplicity without vanity. And the time came, I think it was Holofernes, when he came and they were besieging the city and oppressing the Jews, and the Jews had no army to go out against and defeat him. They were on the verge of being defeated. And Judith prayed to God, oh Lord, please help deliver us, forgive us our sins. The first thing she did is what everyone has to do when they come to God, when they're in trouble, is confess their own sins, confess the sins of their family members, confess the sins of their religious leaders, and petition God to turn his wrath away and to deliver them. And she did all of that. This woman named Judith. And then Judith devised a scheme to go out there and dress up to make herself look pretty so the king would be seduced by her and want to take her into his place. All right, but she had another plan. And she went out there and told the king that, oh, surely, king, you're great, and our God has delivered our people up to you. She told him what we call a white lie, for want of a better word. A lie, in a true sense of the word, is a malicious falsehood. I don't want to get into that now. I'm going to save a whole sermon about the difference between what we call a white lie or evasion, as opposed to a malicious or a true lie, which makes you guilty. For instance, St. Raphael told Tobias that he was Azarias of the tribe of Israel. Raphael told him that, but he really wasn't. Anyway, my point is, I'm trying to express to you what Judith did and how she delivered Israel that day. She put her own life on the line, even her own chastity, although she knew God would protect her chastity. She didn't doubt that. But she probably thought she might get killed. She didn't know sometimes God lets you get killed in the venture. So she went out there, lured the king. The king got attracted by her beauty, invited her in to have a meal. She made sure he got drunk. When he passed out, she took his sword and cut his head off. And before she did it, she said, oh, God of Israel, God of our fathers, give this lowly woman the strength to lop the head off of this king. Cut his head off, and she had her maidservant with it, took the head and put it in her purse. They call it a purse. It couldn't be like the purses we have today because they're too small to fit a head. They must have had big purses back then. But the purse fit a head. And in that purse was a head. It was the head of Holofernes. All right? And they brought it back to the camp. And she showed it to the Israelites. And they all rejoiced. And when the Syrians woke up the next day and saw the head of their king cut off, they all panicked and fled the camp and left all the stuff behind. Then the Jews left their encampment, went after them, took all the booty in the camp and started massacring them. Judith delivered Israel. Judith delivered Israel by killing evildoers. The Blessed Mother is the ultimate Judith when it comes to a human creature, because she delivered us from the ultimate evildoer by allowing Jesus to be born into her womb, to take on her flesh, so that Jesus Christ, God Almighty, can become man, die on the cross, and cut off the head of the serpent. Step on the head of the serpent, as it said in Genesis 3:15. I will put enmities between thee and the woman, and thy seed and her seed. Judith physically crushed the head of Holofernes and delivered them from physical harm and even spiritual danger of falling into the hands of pagans. Mary even more so, because what she did affected the actual redemption of all mankind. Without Christ coming into the womb of Mary, and without Mary saying and giving her permission, there is no redemption. There is no ultimate deliverance from the main Holofernes, Satan and his demons, and the death penalty we are under of sin. How much greater is the Blessed Mother than Judith? How much infinitely greater is she than Judith? Great as Judith was. And Judith was great. And now we're going to read about how great Judith was from the scriptures, what the Protestants even have. And then we're going to compare it and see if do they even give the Blessed Mother the honor they gave to Judith? Do they even give her that honor that the good Jews gave to Judith, that's recorded in the Holy Scriptures, who put her own life on the line to go out there to save Israel from this attack? And we're going to read from Judith, chapter 13, verse 22 to 25, and chapter 15, verse 10. The Lord hath blessed thee by his power, because by thee he hath brought our enemies to naught. Blessed art thou, O daughter, by the Lord the Most High God, above all women upon earth. That's Judith. I've debated Protestants. I've spoken to them. Most of them are really extremely of bad will in this, and there's all kinds of bad will going on, but when a prophet comes up and tells you to your face that Mary was no different than any other woman, she was the same as all of the women, I spit on you, I revile you, I will put you under a triple curse, again the curse you were already under for saying such vileness. Look what they said about Judith in the Old Covenant. They said, O daughter, by the Lord the Most High God, above all women upon earth, not like any other woman, above all other women. The Protestant will not even admit that. Not even admit that. The first thing I always tell you is to try to get them to say, do you at least agree Mary is the most special woman that God ever created? Or any creature. You always use that against them. And when they say, no, she's no different than any woman, just tell them. Do you think God would have came into the womb of Jezebel? And they might say, well, not that. Okay, if not that, he made a choice. And if he made a choice, how could it be that God cannot choose anything but the best of all creatures? Look what's being said about Judith, you Protestants. Open up your Bible and read what it says about Judith. And you better at least start saying this about the Blessed Virgin Mary. You better at least start saying she's the greatest creature that ever lived or was ever created or ever will be created. And only then can you begin to see the dogmas we teach. That's logic. That's natural law logic. Even the Hindu would say. Even the Hindu now. Even the Chinese guy who's an atheist will come up and say, Richard, I don't believe Jesus is God. I don't believe in your religion. But if I did, and I believed that Jesus really was God, I would have to honor his mother as the greatest creature that ever lived. There may even be more hope for them. This is where even they teach many times Protestants are even worse than Jews and Hindus and Buddhists. Very, very... Everyone who's in a false religion is evil. And they have things in which they believe in that are very bad and very wrong. And they're all liars. I'm now particularly trying to redirect and tell the people out there what us Catholics believe about the Blessed Virgin Mary, true devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary, and that nobody ever is going to enter heaven or even have a hope to enter heaven or even have a hope to enter the Catholic Church unless they develop a true devotion to Mary and first start putting her up on the pedestal where she belongs and where she literally is. Look, you want to try to take her off the pedestal? Go ahead, you can't do it. You want to knock God off his throne? Go ahead, you can't do it. You can pretend to do it, you can try to do it. You can make believe that you did do it, but you didn't do it. She reigns right now as queen. Right now she's the queen of the universe. Right now she has power over every creature on earth through the power that God has given her. She is the one, by giving her will over to God and accepting the incarnation into her own womb, Christ, to take on her flesh, that killed the ultimate evildoer. She's the co-redeemer. Christ is the Redeemer. She's the co-Redeemer. Here, look what they're saying about Judaism. I'm going to read it again. I'm going to tell you, you Protestants who are all big on the Scriptures, oh yeah, but when it comes to certain things in here that are so very literal and clear, you do not accept them. Let's read it again. Oh daughter, Judith, by the Lord the Most High God, above all women upon earth, blessed be the Lord who made heaven and earth, who hath directed thee to the cutting off of the head of the prince of our enemies, because he hath so magnified thy name, the Magnificat. Reminds you of the Magnificat, which the Blessed Virgin Mary said? Protestants, in your own Bible, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and all generations shall call me blessed.
This is found in Luke chapter 1.
And he says, he hath so magnified thy name, Judith, this day, that thy praise shall not depart out of the mouth of men, who shall be mindful of the power of the Lord forever. For that thou hast not spared thy life by reason of the distress and tribulation of thy people, but hast prevented our ruin in the presence of our God. Thou art the glory of Jerusalem. Thou art the joy of Israel. Thou art the honor of our people. Who is that? Judith! That's Saint Judith. One of the greatest women that ever lived and ever will live. So how much more greater is the Blessed Virgin Mary than Judith? We read about in the Canticles of Canticles, as a lily among the thorns, so is my beloved among the daughters of Israel. The greatest female saints and even the male saints in heaven don't come close to how great the Blessed Virgin Mary is. They compare Mary as a lily compared to her thorns compared to her. They'd be the first ones to admit it. They were great heroes and saints of God. And look how they're being talked about right in your own Bible. We are reading that here in the book of Jude, chapter 13, 22 to 25, chapter 15 and 10. Why do you not give glory for glory? And even more glory for glory to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Can you not see how wicked you are and evil? I tell you right now, you better get down on your knees before it's too late, because if you die tomorrow, you're going to go straight to the everlasting pits of hell. And you want to know who's going to condemn you, you Protestants especially? You're going to see the Blessed Virgin Mary. She's going to put her heel right on your head and crush you right down into hell. That's what happens. And you're going to know it then, and it's going to be too late. So I'm telling you right now, you better start out, even if you're not sure about what I'm saying, and you better start saying, say one Hail Mary, and say, Jesus, if Richard's saying is true, he tells me I got to go through the Catholic Mary, so I will make the Hail Mary prayer. Right now, I will say the Hail Mary. I will give her honor. And let me know if what Richard is saying is true, and open up my hardened heart. Open up, break my stubborn will. Open up my eyes from the operation of error. Take away the Amos curse that's all over my head. Because I'm a stinking, rotten liar. My whole life I've lied by not addressing scriptures I knew that contradicted what I believe in. My whole life I lied. Oh Lord, true indeed, all men are liars, as you said in Psalm 13. The Lord looketh down from heaven upon the children of men. He sees none that is good. No, not so much as one. All have gone astray. All are liars. So right now, I'm telling you, pray the Hail Mary. Ask the Catholic Mary to guide you in these matters. And you watch how quick, if you pray that prayer with true heart, God will start to open up your heart and deliver you. Prayer is the way we get you into the church. Not only does prayer get you into the church, prayer keeps you in the church. And it keeps you in a state of grace. Prayer is the first pillar. Penance and mortification is the second pillar. And studying and learning your faith is the third pillar. I tell this to even some of the brothers. If they're praying and doing their penances, but they're not studying. Or if they're studying and they're doing penance and they're not praying. Or if they're praying and studying, not doing penance. If you're missing any one of those things, you will fall into mortal sin. You will fall into mortal sin. You will fall into mortal sin. And you are in mortal sin. If you've been neglecting any one of those things for any length of time, I will tell that to the brothers. One brother can say, Richard, yes, I am doing the prayer schedule and I am doing my penances. Are you studying? Are you reading your Bible every day? Are you reading your Holy Scriptures every day? At least a few chapters. Unless maybe on a rare day in an emergency when you can't get to, but then do it at night. If you're not doing it, you're on the road to hell. If you're not doing it, that's the cause of your problems. I'm telling you that now. Those three pillars. I compare prayer to gasoline. It's the doctrine of the Catholic Church. Without God's grace, we cannot do anything good. Without God, we can't even exist and take our next breath, let alone do anything good. Without God's grace, we can't even have a good thought or do a good thing. But when God gives His grace, He requires us to cooperate with that grace, so that we can earn the merit. But without that grace, there is no hope. Without gasoline in a car, you ain't going to be driving that car nowhere. You can turn the key, you can turn the wheel, you can do whatever you want. You ain't going to turn the engine on and drive. But once the gasoline is in the tank because of sufficient prayer, then you got to cooperate with that by turning the key and driving the car. But prayer is the very first pillar. And right now we're preparing an abridged divine office for people that we're putting up on here. And in a vein of prayer, we already say this many times, the two top prayers is the divine office. Right now, other than the Holy Mass, is the top prayer, but we don't have it now because we don't have any Catholic priests in the whole world. They all went bad. They all stink. They're all rotten. They're all a bunch of apostates. They're all a bunch of heretics and sacrilegious abusers of our Lord. The divine office is second. And the Holy Rosary is third. And when you pray the Mass and the divine office, the Hail Mary and Honor to Mary is throughout all these prayers. And ultimately, even in the Holy Rosary God gave us, especially for these days. So if you follow the prayer schedule we have on our calendar up there, our Catholic calendar up on my website, that's the first thing you need to start to do is start praying. That's how non-Catholics come into the church. Any non-Catholic wants to learn how to pray, we can kneel down and teach him how to pray. We're not praying in communion with a heretic in that case. He's in subjection to us, and we're teaching him how to pray. Catholic prayers. And I always tell the brothers, this is the way you do it, and this is what prevents it from being communicatio in sacris with a heretic. I did this down in Texas. This woman was panicking. She needed help. She was knocking on the church door, and I was in Corpus Christi, and she needed help. She was crying, all kinds of things was upside down in her life. She was Catholic one time, now she's a Protestant, she doesn't know what to do. I says, do you have any devotion to Mary? No, I haven't prayed to her in a long time. I forget how to pray. I don't know how to pray to her. I says, come into the church, I want to show you how to pray. Alright? I said, kneel down behind me. And I kneel down in front of her. And I said, Lord God, through Jesus, through Mary, please grant this person all the grace she needs to see she's in a false religion. That she needs to come into the true church. The Catholic Church, to have a chance to save her soul. Give her the grace she needs to be able to pray the prayers I'm teaching her now. That's not communicatio in sacris. What is that? I'm not praying in communion with a heretic. She is a heretic, yes. She hasn't repented yet. She's praying in subjection to me. That's trying to give them what they need, the first pillar, to even come into the church. So I taught her, and she followed after me, till I knew she knew how to pray the Hail Mary. That's the beginning of her salvation if she has a sincere heart. And I'm telling all you Protestants out there now too, that's where you particularly have one of your biggest blocks. And if you ever saw how it offended God, the way you believe about his mother, you are as evil as Satan in the eyes of the Lord God because of what you believe in. Because you're not even using common sense and logic. Yes, I say logic. It doesn't require supernatural faith to believe Mary's the mother of God and the greatest creature if you believe by supernatural faith that Jesus is God. It takes an act of supernatural faith to believe Jesus is God. Yes, that's an act of faith. Yes, it does. It takes an act of supernatural faith to believe in the Holy Trinity about God, that God is three persons and one God. That's what we believe in. You'll never be able to understand it reasonably. Logic will not teach you that. Supernatural faith. But once you believe that by supernatural faith, it's easy. It is easy. It logically follows that Mary's the mother of God. It's not that she created God. God did create Mary. We say that. She is a creature. God existed before Mary. God existed from all eternity. But it's that God wanted to have a mother, and he wanted to take on a human nature. He wanted to be a human so he can live among humans and live like humans, and he wanted to have a mother. So he created Mary to be his mother so that when he came into her womb and took on her flesh, and then God took up humanity into his divinity and became he still was a divine person, but now he's a God, he has the nature of God and the nature of man. And therefore, Mary truly is the mother of God. This is the hardest thing when Protestants lie about when they're two people, where they pretend that we're trying to say she came before God. We never said such a thing. They're liars, they're liars, they're liars. If they ever tell you that, folks, call them right to their face liar, because I'm telling you what our dogma teaches. And they know if they just look at any one of our Catholic dogmas, but she's the greatest creature that ever existed, and she is the mother of God, because if you admit that Jesus is a divine person, and if you admit, since his incarnation, he's God and man, that Mary has to be the mother of God. God always wanted to have a mother just like we do. I always say, it shows the true nature of God, how totally loving, pure love, true love. That's what God really is. He desired that. And he would have had Mary to be his mother even if we didn't commit the original sin. That was his original plan, to come down into the womb of Mary, take on her flesh and be accepted by the whole world. And his first coming would have been a moment of joy and exaltation for the whole world, sinless world. He would have came into a sinless world. He wouldn't have needed to redeem mankind. That was God's original plan that he put forward to Lucifer. That he is going to become a human, that he's going to come into the womb of a human creature or woman, and he's going to, and she's going to be his mother, and she's going to be the greatest creature elevated above angels and saints in heaven, and he didn't like it. So just so you don't let the Protestants lie to you about what we're actually teaching about Mary. No, she did not create God. God created her. No, she did not exist before she was created. But God created her to be his mother. And she's the mother of God because Jesus Christ has a human nature and a divine nature. He's God and man. And he came through the womb of Mary. And she truly is the mother of God. That was one of Nestorius' heresies. So the Protestants are still affected with that heresy even. Yet we have people come out and say, Protestants are our brothers, and they can be saved. You filthy bastards. You filthy nominal Catholics that can spit that out of your mouth. The next time you're one of your little ecumenical powwows smoking your peace pipes together, I would like you to go up and speak to that Protestant and ask him what he thinks about our Blessed Virgin Mary. And don't you ever dare tell me he's a Christian. Don't you ever dare tell me he believes in the true Christ. Don't you ever dare tell me that this guy has any semblance of faith. Your job then will be to tell this man, you're a blasphemer, sir, and because I do love you, I must tell you, you cannot be saved. You're worshiping a false Christ. Your Christ, Protestant Christ, does not give glory to the true Mary. How could it be the true Christ that they preach that gives no glory to the true Christ's Mother Mary? You understand what happens at these religious, ecumenical get-together gatherings when all these bastards are communicatius and sacris and they pray together with one another and they talk to one another academically? Well, it would be nice if you become Catholic, but you really don't have to because you guys are pretty nice. Hey, let's come up with ways we can give Protestant sacraments on their deathbed because they were of good faith. How could a Protestant be of good faith without coming through the Blessed Mary and believing in our dogmas? I spit all over you nominal Catholics. You're the first ones that the wrath of God and the most severe wrath of God is coming down upon. You don't see it now? I will tell all you people that are like this, all you nominal Catholics, when you die tomorrow, you will see the wrath of God and you will be down into the lowest pits of hell, lower than the Jews. You have a place in hell that has been reserved uniquely for nominal Catholics. And it's the lowest pit of hell. Jews are right above that. That's where you're going to end up. Don't you dare. You better stop talking to these people as if they're okay with God and their faith is fine. There ain't nothing wrong and they're of good faith. And it's subjective, objective nonsense. If they don't believe in our dogmas, if they don't want to enter the true Catholic Church, they're rotten to the core. I've showed you how many examples now. If you don't even go up to the guy and try to convert him and preach to him, what hope is there? The presumption today is they're all saved. It's a denial of the salvation dogma. After 9/11, all these people are joining hands and praying with one another, prats and all kinds of people, and they don't believe in the Blessed Virgin Mary. They think she's just like any other woman. Whoa, where's your love of God in all of this? I tell you now, if God gave me a sword big enough to reach around the whole world, I'd lop all your heads off in one swat. Nominal Catholics, to get you out of the way so I can convert the Protestants, the Talmudic Jews, the Muslims and the Buddhists, and the atheistic Chinese. You're not going to convert these people with these nominal Catholics running around professing a false Catholic God. They're the most evil people that walk the face of the earth. I'm telling you now, and I'm warning you nominal Catholics, before it's too late, you better get out of your heresies and out of your apostasies and listen to what I'm telling you. You want to hang out with all these people and palsy-wowsy around with the world and be friendly with the world, go ahead and do it. You're going to end up going where all the rest of the people are going in the world. To the everlasting pits of hell. All right, so I'm giving all you people the things that you need to know. And I'm telling you Protestants because I love you. Truly do. I wouldn't be telling you this if I hated you. I abhor you, yes, but I still love you. Why? Because you're a human being. You have a soul that needs to be saved. And if I hated you, I would have hated my own self and I would have no chance for my own self. I was worse than you Protestants. I was a pagan. I lived out there. I was a rotten bastard myself. And I know what God done for me. And the way he did it for me was not by being easy on me and letting me rest comfortably in my sins. He punished me. He scourged me. Severely. Severe punishment and scourges. He taught me. He brought me down the hard road. He preached to me. He didn't let me stay there. That's true love. Okay? I'm telling you this precisely first for the glory of God, then for the sake of my own soul, and for the sake of your souls. So wake up. Logic tells you you can't have 27,000 different churches, all calling themselves the Church of Jesus Christ, all preaching different doctrines and dogmas. It can't be. I just told a guy this week I'm trying to convert one of our neighbors. God sent him by my path. And I told him, I said, the Bible's not enough. We need to know what the Bible means. 1 Timothy 3:15 says the Catholic Church is the pillar and ground of truth. I put the word Catholic in there. It doesn't make sense. It's the church. What church is that? Would you mind telling me what church? And Jesus says in Matthew 18:17-18, he that will not hear the church is a heathen. What church is that? I told him he needs to get into the right church. And that we are the right church. We are the true Catholic church preaching the dogma. It seemed very difficult for that. He wasn't listening much. He was and he was and he was. And very difficult case. We're still going to need miracles to get a guy like that. And that's where, this is my point. As much as even preaching to him, and most of the people you really preach to, you really do see it. They're so ambivalent and indifferent. Especially the nominal Catholics. It's in one ear and out the next. It's like talking to a zombie. It's like talking to a robot. Is anybody home? Wake up! They don't want to hear you. See, but unless God's grace goes down first and feeds that heart. Now, he was planted the word. It's not that that's going to be completely barren. If later on the guy could convert, but it's still what needs to happen now in that man's life. I've done my job. What needs to be done now? Only if he's of goodwill, I'm saying. God don't have to do anything. God may not ever give him a grace if he's not of goodwill. But he needs the grace of God. Working in his heart to turn his heart. And not only that, that's the first thing he needs. The second thing he needs is to be physically punished by God. To make him turn to God in all sincerity. To let him know that there's something in his life that is grievously wrong because of all the calamities that are taking place. Physically and spiritually. You need both of those things happening. And God promises to do both of those things to all those of goodwill. But prayer is the thing that generates that grace. And that's what we do here now when we're praying. And even told Dominic, you got to let these people know. It's not the fancy sermons. It's a simple sermon that converts people. You don't got to be a genius to go out there with all these subtle little twists to try to convert. It's the simple sermons that convert people. And it's ultimately first God's grace that does it. And that's why he told them, go out and preach the rosary. And preach the Hail Mary, the angelic salutation. And preach about how necessary it is and how great it is. Even before they had the Holy Rosary. True devotion marries throughout the church. You may look at the Eastern Church and say, Richard, well, the Holy Rosary wasn't always around. Or, the Eastern Church doesn't pray the Holy Rosary. Yeah, but did you ever see the Eastern Liturgy? Did you ever attend or hear a Mass in the Eastern Liturgy? The Blessed Mother is throughout the whole liturgy. It is sublime. They give honor to the Blessed Mother in her liturgy more than we do even in the Roman Rite. If you listen to the Eastern Liturgy, the Eastern Catholic Liturgy, it is sublime. Devotion to Mary has been from day one in the church. All the church fathers had devotion to Mary. The church fathers, we call it patriology. All the people who knew the apostles. And all the people who knew the people who know the apostles. And all the people who knew the people who knew the people who knew the apostles. And it goes down and it goes down and it goes down and it goes down. Devotion to Mary is the greatest creature God ever created. The Mother of God. All the first heretics in the church tried to attack two things. First, Christ. And to attack Christ's divinity, you have to attack the Mother. It goes hand in hand. And so these attacks were coming down. The story is that heretic bastard in 431, when he got up in his pulpit and said, Mary's not the mother of God. Eusebius the layman said, you're a heretic, sir. I will no longer attend your Mass because I heard one heresy out of your mouth. He didn't sit around and squabble about deeper dogmas, objective, subjective. He's messed up. He doesn't mean it. It's a heresy. I'm out of here, pal. And the whole church left. At least, I don't know if the whole church left, but whoever stayed is guilty of his heresy for staying in that church. And any time they attacked the Blessed Mother, they were casted out of the church and anathematized. All right? And I say this to the Protestants today even. You may be able to go back and find one or two people that believed in one or two of your heresies, but you're never going to go back and find a person who believed in every one of your heresies, for instance, the Lutherans, and every one of them, so that they actually believed like the Lutherans did. Never. So anyway, what we're trying to tell you people out there, and we even tell the brothers, true devotion to Mary is the only way to salvation. You will not get to God the Father unless you go, or God the Son, or God the Holy Spirit, unless you go through his daughter, his spouse, and his mother. All right? And that marries all three of those things to the Blessed Trinity. Don't be deceived by the mushy Mary that you're reading about today. Mary's not a mush. You read about Judith. You read about Mary. Mary is not a pushover. She doesn't sit back and take kindly to blasphemy against her son. She doesn't sit back and allow these things to happen. She inspires your people to stand up and be manly, to fight the manly fight. So be careful of the mushy Mary. Mary is not mushy. All right? You just read about Judith. And Mary, the Blessed Mother, is even greater than Judith. All right? She's a fighter for the faith. She's going to crush the head of the serpent ultimately at the end and throw him into hell. She crushes him now. And when Mary comes down to put the gabash on you, you're all over. You're in trouble. All right, so watch out for the mushy Mary. And also watch out for the false devotions to Mary, where people go out there and pray their holy rosaries, but they're not really praying them sincerely. And my point is, if you don't pray sincerely, you know what it's like? It's like going to the gas station with your car and you don't get gas. They give you something in there that messes your car up. But it's not gasoline. It's not gas. Insincere does not generate gas for the car to move. So if you false devotion is to Mary, and this is just to let other people know, how come all these people that pretend to have devotion to Mary are all messed up? I want to let the Protestants and other people know that they're not true Catholics. They're nominal Catholics. They're heretics. They're apostates. They have a false devotion to Mary. Their prayers are insincere. The reason to pray to Mary is to look holy in the eyes of other people, to perpetuate and continue in their sins. I've heard it. They say, we're all sinners, we're all going to be sinners, I can't overcome my sins. As long as I pray my rosary every day, I can go out and commit adultery. It's like the man who commits adultery, then he goes and says a rosary, and he says, forgive me, Lord. And then he's planning his next adultery the very next hour, or the very next night. And then he comes out and prays another rosary, and says, the Lord will forgive me, Mary will save me. That's a false devotion, that's a presumptuous prayer. Beware of that too. You cannot always invoke the Blessed Mary and get her help when you're doing it with an insincere heart. That's another very important part I need to make here. If it's a false devotion to Mary, and they even seem to be very pious and holy, because they're only praying for themselves to look good and to cover up their mortal sins. They figure, if I can go pray to Mary, I can continue to commit mortal sins. If I gave one rose to Mary in my whole lifetime, I can continue to commit mortal sins. If I can do like Mel Gibson did and make one good movie like The Passion, I can be saved, and I can go out and make a pagan movie right after it. What was the name of that stupid movie? That pagan movie?
Apocalypto.
And then leave his wife, and he's living in adultery. And then this woman is pregnant. Oh, but he made the Passion. Oh, but I gave a rose to Mary. Oh, but I prayed the rosary. Don't be fooled by false devotions neither, folks. When I'm telling you to invoke the Blessed Mary, I'm telling you it really does work. And it's the only way you can be saved. The rosary's good. Because it's abused doesn't mean it's bad. Just the same thing I say about doctors. You can have bad doctors. It doesn't mean the medical profession is bad. I mean, the Bible itself is good, but it can be misused by, like the Protestants misuse it. Don't be fooled by those who have a fake devotion to Mary. Because there is such a thing as false devotions to Mary also. And I want you to be aware of that also. And that means you're praying with an insincere motive. That means not only you're not getting any grace in your car or gasoline in your car, you're getting water or you're getting oil. Something that's not going to make it go. Now, the other point is when you pray sincerely, like I am telling, this applies to people coming into church and our brothers. Now you got the gas in the car, but now you better do the other pillars. Mortification and learning your faith. It doesn't do you any good to pray and get grace in the car, but not drive it, you see? Now, this is a warning to the brothers, too, who are struggling maybe out there, or anybody with their world. Says you've got to go out there and you've got to see, am I doing the whole package? Are you studying your faith? Are you saying, well, I'm too busy. I'm too busy. I can't even put aside 15 minutes to read the Bible. That's all it takes, folks. We talk about reading 3 chapters in the Bible every day. And follow my Bible plan I have up on the website. It's an excellent Bible reading program. That ain't a lot to do. And I will tell you, if you're perpetually not following that program, you're in mortal sin already. You're either committing mortal sins in your mind because of doubts and distresses, or you're giving into temptations, or you're even carrying them out in reality. I'm telling you that. You don't want to listen to me? Fine. Tell us it on your judgment day. I'm trying to give you the problem. You want to come to the true physician of souls. It's the Catholic Christ and the Catholic Church and what they really teach. All right, so all your people out there, I warned you about the false devotions of Mary, but I also told you true devotion is necessary for salvation. Just because people abuse the Holy Eucharist, the Bible's not evil because Protestants twisted it. The true Catholic Bible is one of the best things in the world. Because people misquote it, that's another issue. But I was just telling you this to beware of the people, and there's a lot of them out there that pretend to have devotion to Mary, but it's a false Mary, it's a mushy Mary, it's a false devotion. It's a Mary that comes and tells you that God respects Muslims and Buddhists and Talmudic Jews, and he's got all these people in heaven. That ain't your true Mary. I'm sorry. Right now, I think the worst blasphemies in the whole world are all the false Jesuses and the false Marys that are being presented in the world through the Da Vinci Codes that presents Jesus as Mary of not really dying on the cross and surviving and marrying. What blasphemies are being told about the Blessed Mother? These are the worst crimes in the whole world today. The worst crimes. But wasn't it given the Antichrist to blaspheme God in Apocalypse 13, verse 5? And it was given the Antichrist a mouth speaking great things in blasphemies? and power is given him 240 months to do, and he opened his mouth unto blasphemies against God, to blaspheme God and his tabernacle Mary, and them that dwell in heaven and all the saints. Isn't that what you see? And why is he getting away with it? Because if these nominal Catholics sit back and they don't, it doesn't bother them. They're all academics. Well, that's their opinion. They're entitled to it. We all have the right to religious liberty. I happen not to agree with what they did, but he has the right to say it. No, he don't have a right to say it. I'm sorry. He don't. These people are so weak and wimpy when it comes to standing up against blasphemy, they're worthy of it. But these are the worst sins that could be committed today. Just look at the way the devil's attacking Jesus, and not just Jesus alone and Mary. Prats, wake up. Wake up. The devil even hates Mary more than God. I spoke about this before. Because she's a creature like he is. And she passed the test and was the highest elevated creature. Mary was the object of his fall because he would not submit to Mary. And that's how he ended up disobeying God, because God commanded him to obey Mary. And he says, I don't want to obey Mary. And so God said, you're out. Can't you see the similarity between Satan and you Protestants? You're exactly the same. Don't Protestants all want to be numero uno? Don't they all want to be their own pope? You know what that guy told me? I was trying to convert him. He says he belongs to the Assembly of God. And then he goes like this. He says, yeah, but I don't listen to everything he says neither. I says, well, why do you even go to him then? I says, if you're not listening to everything he says, I said, how could this be the truth? He says, I trust the Bible. I says, what do you mean you trust the Bible? How do you know what the Bible teaches? And how do you know what the Bible teaches is true? Everybody says they trust in the Bible and they believe in different things. You even just admitted your preacher's not even telling you the truth. What kind of a religion is that? Can't you see that God's church needs to have the charism of infallibility, which we call papal infallibility? Can't you see it? All these things are in their face. Now, this guy's so set in his ways for now. I even tried to get him to read stuff. First he says his eyes are bad, so he can't look at no DVDs. He can't read. So I said, well, can I get you some audios? Well, yeah, I can still hear, but I'm kind of busy. And I said, well, I'll give them to you. And when you have some time, turn on, you can listen to some of my sermons. So now all we can do is pray for the guy, and when I get some time, I'm going to give him. He's an older guy. He's ready to go to his grave. He looks like he's in his 80s or 90s. Spanish guy. What a shame. Because, you know, his ancestors at one point, if you trace his back from Spain, were Catholics. Here he is going to the Assembly of God, totally confused, totally baffled. You can see him. The guy's lost. But unless God's miracle, real miracles of God's grace goes in there, opens that heart, I can do no more. You understand how we need God above all things? How important, brothers, it is to pray, to do the three pillars, and to work, whatever your work is. When you serve God, everything you do gains grace if you do it without murmuring, if you do it without complaining. And you ask God to make that happen in the beginning. If you find that happening, say, God, make my day go joyful and peaceful. But it's a win-win situation for those who serve God. So this sermon is, again, was to impress upon you that you ain't going to get into heaven where Mary is at this very moment, unless you have true devotion to Mary. And I will say it again to everybody out there, if they ever get into a moment of great need, ask the Catholic Mary to help you and pray to Hail Mary. And then you can even ask him, please let me know, is what Richard's teaching is true? If you do with a sincere heart, God will help you. You'll see. God even does it now. I tell you Jews out there, Jews can understand that. I think they have a great love for their mothers on the natural plane. I think an Orthodox Jew understands that. So how much better, you Jews, is the Blessed Mary, who's the Mother of God? The first thing the Jew needs to know is accept that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, that Jesus Christ is God. And then I think we're going to have a less hard time converting the Jew. Because once the Jew accepts by supernatural faith that Jesus truly is the Messiah, and that he truly is God, I don't think you're going to have a hard time convincing the Jew about the Mother of God. You know, that came from the Greeks and the wisdom seeker people. Not the Jews. To the Jews, supernatural faith things they understand, even though they're not believing in the true faith now. They're believing in a false faith. But I think you're going to have an easier time with the Jews on that point. The hardest point with the Jews is getting them to accept the supernatural dogma that Jesus really is their Messiah, whom they don't accept, whom they turned their back on. And if they accept that, and the Holy Trinity, I don't think you're going to have a hard time with the Jew believing Mary's the Mother of God. We have a hard time with that with the Protestants. Well, you know, I'm talking about the Talmudic Orthodox Jew, not the liberal Jew. You got a lot of Reform Jews and liberal Jews. They're just like the Prots, and they're really bad. But I'm talking about the Orthodox Jews are more or less here at this very moment. I'm not saying we can't convert the liberals neither, but they're going to be even more difficult because they're so steeped in some of these other vices. But God can convert anybody's heart. All right, so let this sermon be a cause to give first and foremost glory to God, to Jesus through Mary and then to Mary, his greatest masterpiece, and to let all you people know that if you want to be saved, if you're confused in your life, you better start developing true devotion to Mary and coming to Jesus through Mary. All right. Name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.